Hey, this is Ron Jacobs for Endpoint TV, and today I'm going to show you the basics of workflow. So I've got here a little solution, and let's just add the simplest kind of project. It's a workflow console application. So I'll add that here, and we're just going to call this Hello WF Console. And so what we'll get here is a blank surface. This is a workflow surface, and so I can look in my toolbox, and I have some activities, some that were provided with Visual Studio and .NET 4, and some that I wrote. So I'm going to drop a write line here, and just like tradition, we'll just write Hello World, just so you can see the simplest possible way to create a workflow. Now, if I hit Control, let's see, first let's set that as a startup project, and then I hit Control F5, we'll run it, bam. Now, that's pretty interesting, but workflows are much more powerful than that. And one of the things that workflows can do is they can use expressions. So to show you this, I'm going to cut this write line, and we'll drop a more sophisticated container called a sequence. So I grab the sequence here, and I can paste the write line back in there. A sequence, of course, can have more than one activity in sequence, right? So let's put a write line here, and you notice it says enter a VB expression. Yeah, this project is a C-sharp project, but expressions and workflow are always done with VB. So I can write something like 2 plus 2 equals, and I can concat that with an expression like 2 plus 2. And this will totally work. And so let's fire this up and run it. Control F5, it'll build. And there you see that we can evaluate an expression written in Visual Basic. Of course, if I have expressions, I might want to have a variable as a place to kind of store the result of an expression, right? So if I select the sequence here, I can enter the name of a variable. I'll call this sum, and we'll say it's a type int32, and then I'm going to drop an assign activity here, and I can assign a value to sum. Now, again, it's an expression, so I can put 2 plus 2 in there. And then we can come down here and change our second write line to just say what the value of sum is. So again, remember we're using VB here. You see the IntelliSense and everything. So that's great. Let's close the variables. Looks good. Let's run it. Control F5. And you can see, again, it's evaluated the expression. Now what if I wanted you to provide me a value to use in our little calculation? Well, I can add an argument. And we can have input arguments and output arguments. So I'm declaring an in argument here called amount. It's of type int32. So we've got that argument in place. I'm going to build this now so that the rest of Visual Studio's IntelliSense will know about this new argument that we just added. Now, of course, we're going to need to prompt you for a value. So we'll put in here, please enter an amount. And then we're going to do just kind of quick and dirty int32 value, no error checking or anything. We're just going to try to convert whatever you enter to an int32. So we'll do console.readline. Okay, so you got to enter a number, okay? All right. And now here's our workflow. You notice it's just a class, and like any class, it can have public properties. And that amount argument actually surfaces as a public property to the outside world, so now we can pass that in. All right, so now let's change our write line so it shows us what the sum plus the amount is. Just to make this a little more interesting, we'll use the amount argument. Okay, so here we're going to Control F5 and run that. Now it wants to know an amount. We'll enter 10, and there you go. We pass it in, and now we get a value of 14. Hey, this is great if you're building console apps, but can you use this with ASP.NET? Well, as a matter of fact, you can use it with ASP.NET. And so let's set this as a startup project, and I've already implemented this, so we'll save some time, but let's take a look at this workflow. This is basically identical to what we saw earlier. It has the amount in argument and the whole thing. Now, of course, you can't console write line in a web app, but the thing you can do is you can use a response write. So I've got the same expression here, and what I had to do to enable me to do response.write was to create a code activity. And you see here a code activity is just a class that inherits from code activity. And I can declare my argument that I want is text. I override the execute method. The workflow hands me a context that I use to access my value, and then I just response.write it. Okay, so yeah, this is kind of silly, I know, but it gets the point across. You can use this in a web app. Now, if I run this, I'm just going to enter an amount here, 10, and I'll click Submit, and bam, there you see it right there. It's been output into the response stream, okay? All right, now, that's pretty interesting, but these two workflows so far have not been very testable. Kind of writing directly to response or outputs, not very testable. So I've created another kind of workflow. This one is really how most workflows work. It gets values in and it returns something out. So we have an output message of type string, and now instead of writing it directly, we're going to output that message. And it's the same expression. And so now that we've done it this way, this becomes much more testable. So if I look here in my test folder, I've got a unit test, and this allows me to actually create this sum amount. And you notice it's just a class with a property. And then I can use the workflow invoker to invoke it. Now that's going to return me an output. It's actually a dictionary of string object, and so I can check to see that it has a message and I can access the message. So let's run that test, and you can see here that workflows can run in test environments, web environments, console apps. It totally works, right? All right, now that this we've done that little sum amount workflow, we can actually compose these things together because, well, that is all about workflows. All activities can be composed. So if I go back to my console workflow, I've added a reference to that library. And now I can get rid of this assign activity because we're not going to do the assignment here. And in fact, I can get rid of a couple of variables that we've got laying around here. We don't need the sum variable either. And I'm going to create a variable called message to hold the output of the sum amount workflow. And in the second write line, we're just going to show whatever the message is. Now, if I want to call another workflow, really it's just calling another activity. Now I can call sum amount. And in the property grid, I put in the argument I'm going to pass in, which is the amount, and the out argument will be bound to our variable named message. Okay, so now we can run it. We'll compile this and give it another run. And let's just enter a value 10 here and see, it just works. And so that's the basics of a workflow. And you can see I showed you a few things kind of really quickly here. I showed you how workflows use expressions. I showed you how they use variables and input and output arguments. And of course, we used the workflow invoker, which is kind of the simplest way to invoke a workflow. It just invokes it synchronously on the calling thread. You can pass your arguments in by assigning those public properties. You can get the out arguments by accessing this output collection. It's really a dictionary with a string key, the name of the argument, and an object value. And so we saw how you can use it in console apps, web apps, test apps, and you can compose these things all together. I know that was really quick and a very brief introduction to workflow, but it just kind of gives you a sense of some of the things that are possible. And of course, there's one other very large area, which is workflow services and App Fabric, and we've already got a video on that. So if you want to take a look at that one, it'd be a good idea. For Endpoint TV, I'm your host, Ron Jacobs.